Good morning.
Good morning.
Love and greetings from the Columbus, Indiana Ecclesia. The Ecclesia wanted me to read a few scriptures that they voted on giving to you last week. Actually sent with my uncle and cousin. So they just said, since you're going to be here next week, read it yourself. Psalms 89, 15 through 18. Blessed is the people that knoweth me. Joyful sound they shall walk, O Lord, within the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. And Philippians 1, 3 through 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he hath begun a good work in you, with will perform it, and until the day of Jesus Christ. This is a privilege to be with you. And, oh, forgot to hook one up. There we go. We won't need this until the last section of our discourse this morning, but I guess it'd be good to get it up there. Yes, very good. The intent of our talk today is to bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. The subject today is metamorphosis. We became very fond of this subject in Romans 12:2. The Connellsville Convention last October was on this very subject, and as one of the elders asked to speak, when you get a task that has one scripture for all four of the elders, you somewhat wonder, is there enough info here to do 2 days of talk on this? Well, surprisingly enough, there is. So the first part of our lesson, our first session today, is going to be a pedantic part of the information, somewhat academic, a little bit more theory and reason why behind Romans 12:2. The purpose of studying this is to provoke each of you and myself to thought and examination of our new creatures about this transformation process. The first thing in any study that we perform is to come to a basic and an early appreciation of the fundamentals of the topic we're studying. And at an arm's length, we want to figure out why we study it and then personalize it and make it the most important part, because each of us understand it in a different way. And it's the way we're going to remember it. So the thesis, as it is said today, will be Romans 12:2. Be not conformed, and be ye transformed. Interesting enough, are not works that you do to yourself. Both come from outside influences. And if allowed, they'll have their respective works. So, in short, be not conformed is not something you do. Have you ever looked at it that way? Be ye transformed is not something you do. I didn't look at this point that way. What I did And the way we handled it at Connellsville was to take the interpretation through vines and found that vines is very interesting as compared to Strong's. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says from the NASB, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship." At baptism, we're all aware that we present our justified humanity to our Heavenly Father. He accepts it. And then that humanity that we have given Him justified, He takes. And He says, what's left after we give it to Him unto death? Well, that would be our flesh. Our flesh is all that's left. And so, if it were that we were at the end of the millennium, as the world would be, we'd be totally perfect and beyond the day we live in now, coming to the end of the millennium and living on for ages to come. So with our flesh that's left, He says, present your bodies unto Me. And that's 12:1. It's my opinion that Paul was not just talking to the brethren listening in the audience. He was talking to the brethren who were justified before Him. And He was telling them that you can't give up your old creature. You have to be giving up your old creature in order to have the embryo, new creature, grow. Brethren, if we have given our justified humanity to God, what do we have left? The flesh? The flesh is what medium our Heavenly Father chose to use to develop the embryo, new creature in us. This is stated in Romans 6:12. Let us not sin, therefore. Reign in your death-doomed body, that ye should be obedient to its covetings. And 13, neither be presenting your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but present yourselves unto God as though alive from among the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness unto God. And I like the 19th verse. In human fashion, I'm speaking because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as ye presented your members as servants unto impurity and unto lawlessness for lawlessness, so now present your members as servants unto righteousness for satisfaction and sanctification. Paul's telling us that we are to use our flesh to any degree, the part that's left, that we can, as long as we can help our embryo, new creature, grow and get closer to birth. And that's through the sanctification process. So the brethren in that Paul were talking to were all consecrated unto death. Now there's some that were that we say today are consecrated unto righteous living. They are not in the same category, because that would be as the chart shows, which you can't see right now, but it would be as equal to plain N. But the concept that the apostle's going for is to show how the new creature will be transformed to a spirit body. Very, very unlike anything we as human beings could ever understand. So in Romans 12:2, to kind of get the ball rolling here, Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is and what is good and acceptable and perfect. The apostle doesn't say, do not conform yourself to this world, but transform yourselves unto the divine likeness. No. He says that we do not conform, but be ye transformed. This is expressed well, for we don't conform ourselves. We don't transform ourselves. It's a process we go through. The confirmation he's talking about is the worldly influences. And the worldly influences is the spirit of the world around us. It is from them to us. We don't want to conform to that. We want to submit ourselves to God's will and allow the Holy Spirit to have that transforming process, which we'll soon go through by the obvious metamorphosis. One thing that I was really interesting to find that as we examine ourselves, which influences are we submitting ourselves to, allowing to come into our lives? The confirmation to the world, be ye not conformed to the world, is an expression that we have to look at, because world in that scripture really means age, the gospel age. And so the age we live in, I like it better than the world. The world seems to be more of a generalized term, but the age in the gospel age, as we look at it, is an age for the early church to grow and also to make the body of Christ. So as we look at Romans 12:2 and the word conformed as an outward expression, many times we use the term embryonic creatures, and it's the thought that the influences from this world or age become something that takes our attention away from what our goal is. And it's the Greek word schizomatio, and I probably am smearing that, but it's nonetheless that word. The word itself, confirmation, has three meanings to it. And the third meaning, compared to English, being that English doesn't have the defining facts as well as the Greek does, I'm going to try to explain them in earthly terms that we all understand, but not nearly to the Greek. We use vines once again as our study outline. It means fashioning after, to fit a pattern. Merely a form or an outline. It's an expression of the flesh. It's not durable. It's an outward show of ceremony and godliness. It's actually counterfeit. It in reality is a doubter. And as I understand, the word skeptic from Brother Richard last night actually comes from that word, suschimatio. In vines, it says the stress of this word could not be used for something inward. So it's an external influence coming to us that we allow into our lives. The word fashion was one of the first definitions that really jumped out at me. And in our world of fashion today, what is a model? A lot of the young ladies of this world become models. They look pretty. They're a figure of beauty. They are outlined with dress and all the lovely colors that are in different materials. They put makeup on. They have fame. And if you take that all away, what do you have? You have a human being and nothing more. Beauty is built through the heart. It's something you have to take in and allow to happen to you. You can't make yourself any more beautiful to God than by the changing of your heart and allowing Him in. So this influence, by coming in, is something we have to look at. And what are we conforming to? Because today we have a lot of things that we conform to. As we talked about last night in a conversation at Brother and Sister Keymichael's house, we were talking about how anything on TV, any commercial, any road sign you go by has something to sell you. And so these influences are popping in, even somewhat subvertly, not even conscious to us. So there are things we have to look at as nothing that's going to be durable, nothing that's going to last forever. And we have to be skeptical of its reality. So we have to ask ourselves, when someone looks at us, what do they see if they look at our natural human being, as we all have this human medium that God's using? Do they see Jesus Christ in us every day? That's something that was profound to me, because I never asked myself that when I read this scripture before. How and what we look like in depth will come into the second meeting, which is a more personalization of the first study here about Romans 12:2. I'm merely giving the foundation, or let's say key paths, of the actual scripture of Romans 12:2. So that's conformed. Onward, Romans 12:2 again. We have, and be ye not transformed. In looking through translations, be ye is the only proper way that we should look at the scripture in Romans 12:2. If be ye is not in front of it, the pastor suggests, I believe it's 203 in the first volume, and I'll summarize, that be ye is his influence on us. Be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed. And the word transformed, of course, is not metamorphosis. In the Greek, it's metamorpho, which is a form of metamorphosis, but it also has three meanings. And if you look at that, to break that down, this transformation is from the inside out by the influence of our Heavenly Father, and allowing our Heavenly Father to work with the embryo new creature. We are looking for spiritual birth. We're looking for spiritual birth. We've given our life unto God unto death. We're not coming back on this earth. So we're looking for something that no one else, not any other religion that I know of, really feels is going to happen, unless you're of the nominal system, which seems to think that everybody's going to heaven and the earth won't be here anymore. The definition, as we use it in the English language for metamorpho, is an expression of inward process, a total change of nature by a comprehensive obligation to the Heavenly Father, a complete alteration. Well, that's kind of neat, because the Lord is always changing our mind, always working through us to, as Brother Aaron brought out this morning, we all have some sin we need to work on. Are we going to take the chance to use that as an example to change the way we are? It's thorough. We have to take every little bit of sin out. It's consistent, never stops, it's always the same path. We take it out. It's fashioned for those after we see how the Holy Spirit affects each of us in our daily walk. But the interesting thing is, it's not obvious to the literal sight. So, if the Holy Spirit is working through us, we have to be a believer, and we have to have faith, and a process that continues to completion. So do not fashion yourselves after the influences of the day, but be ye transformed. The inward change, be ye, it's coming from God. Change It's not obvious to outsiders, but it's obvious to God. And if we are maturing, the embryonic new creatures allow this metamorphosis to take place from the influence of God. It makes us humble and teachable. And have to allow God to, we have to allow God to let us, let Him in. It's a change of mindset. We can't change ourselves because we're working on this flesh. That's what's left. But the interesting part of metamorphosis, especially with the butterfly, is it uses its previous body to nourish the next form it takes on. So you have, it uses its flesh for nourishment to make the next position it's going to take in its metamorphosis. It's kind of a interesting thing we don't think of today. The influence that metamorphosis does for us grants us faith beyond just hope for the human restitution. We are looking for birth as a spirit being. Concept that really is hard for me to understand. I don't know what spirit birth is, but I can just imagine. And what I imagine isn't even part of what it will really be. So words mean everything to us. And there's so many different ways that languages use the words of metamorphosis that I could mean one thing and you could take it a different way from me right now. And it might be something that would be good or bad to you, depending on the flavor of the way your mind is taking it. But the Greek really stresses different ways of looking at each word. So, once again, if you go to Strong's for this scripture, it's going to be somewhat less than deep. So I'm going to try to play this portion of this, and I'm going to stop it for a little tease for next session, because this will start, and I'll be talking over it. It has a little music with it, but it shows some in-depth photos of how this metamorphosis change in total. So we'll see if we can't make something happen here. I'm sorry, Brother Tom, if I'm not as professional. If you like the music better, just listen to it and then we'll go on. Okay. Once again, as we said, the meaning for the word conform is sustumino, and the word for transformed is metamorpho, of which you have to use two other words to actually come to the meaning from the English understanding to use the term I just used in the word conformed. And it's based on fashion and I can't think of the other word at the moment, but you have to use the two meanings and develop the actual identification of the word metamorpho or transformation. And because the term BE, were it not the active agent, is actually impelling us to do something or transform ourselves from us allowing God in to transform us. It's your relationship with the Lord and no one else or nothing else between it. It's your heart being changed. So if words are the important part and understanding words are the evident part of the Greek that we have to use, what other scriptures do we have that show how important wording is? John 17:16 says, "Of the world they are not, even as I am not of the world. Hallow them in thy truth." Thine own word is truth. At this point, to understand better, let's look at another Greek word that does the same thing that we do when trying to understand metamorphosis and confirmation. It's the word we use quite often called anastasis. It's in Philippians 3:9. It's used in two completely different ways, anastasis. It's anastasis in the first reading. It's in exanastasis in the second verse here. So we'll read Philippians 3:10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. There's that word conformed again. We want to not be conformed to the influences of the world. We want to conform ourselves unto his death. Know that our lives are not going to be white picket fences and green grass and in a field of wonder and loveliness this side the veil. It's going to be how we accept our trials, how we use them to conform our hearts and conform to his death. And in 11 it says, in order that we may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now there's two words there, resurrection, in both 10 and 11. The first one is the resurrection that we use when witnessing to the world or anyone else, anastasis. The second one, in 11, is exanastasis. Some scholars believe that Paul made this word up because it's only used once in the Bible. Exanastasis. And it is the out-resurrection of the dead, which is after the true church has finished its course. After the embryonic new creature goes to the point of spirit birth and has been made sharers in his resurrection, their probationary membership in the from the embryonic new creature's point of view has now become an actual membership. Now, when we look at consecration, the new creature, I don't think anyone can look at us and say, well, there's a new creature and there's not one. Oh, there's one over there. The new creature is a mindset. The new creature is how we change the moment we understand how the Lord is working through us by the Holy Spirit. That mindset is something that we have to continue to not conform to the world, but be transformed. And we're working toward that transformation into a spirit birth by the renewing of our mind. According to Vines, as we continue on through Romans 12:2, by the renewing of your mind, it's an adjustment of moral spiritual vision and thinking like or to the mind of God. We're not trying to think like the world. We're trying to stretch our points of view and look at it from what God would do. The Romans passage stresses the willing response to the part of the believer. To me, this shows a progression, and that's part of that progression that is necessary when we have to let God take the mindset of the new creature through a willing desire and adjust the mind, which naturally bends to earthly wants and desires. And because it is we who have to give up our life to be a part of the body of Christ, we now are dead. Because he accepted that. But by the holy influence of God, the Holy Spirit, changing our desires to heavenly aspirations. Just like in Titus 3:5, not by works which we had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy he has saved us through means of a bathing of a new birth and the molding anew of Holy Spirit. And this is the sanctifying part of our walk. We have to clean up, go to the laver, as the tabernacle shows. Set ourselves apart. Be different. We can't conform to the world. We have to transform. What you're seeing on the screen at the moment is what we talked about earlier. The skin is actually falling off of this caterpillar and it will fall to the ground. And then after it falls to the ground, it's the skin's moving up, by the way. The old creature, so to speak, is on the top. And this metamorphosis is taking place as this new form is being built within this cocoon. And what's left is that flesh up there. And that flesh is going to be consumed as nutrients in order to make that creature that's about to come about have nutrients. So now he's got to rehang himself here because he's about to lose his grip on life there, so to speak. And he's going to soon let that drop. Going on, once again, I said this was pedantic, and I learned what that word meant because it has my name in it, pedantic. Kind of boring. But nonetheless, this is the foundation principles of the Scripture. The adjustment that we have to do and take takes a lifetime. Nothing that happens in a short distance, short time, short period. How many times do we fail, brethren? How many times do we pull ourselves back up? How many times do we go to the Lord and beg for forgiveness? It's not the fact that we have to do it so many times. It's the fact that we do it and need to. 1 Corinthians 2:16, the Rotherham version, it says, "For who hath come to know the mind of the Lord, but shall instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And in the comments for Romans 12:2, "The change of mind from human to spiritual, which we experience here, is the beginning of the change of nature. It is very small beginning, very, very small, because we saw the little egg. But as our metamorphosis goes on, but the beginning is always a small beginning, but it has a progression of consistency." And what is that consistency? What do we use every day? Faith. We have to develop the faith. It's not until the old creature submits and we are transformed as far as the will is concerned that we can even start to become new creatures. It's the sanctifying of the mind, the cleaning up of our hopes, desires. Now you'll notice the cocoon is spun here, and there's still this metamorphosis occurring. Doesn't look like much. It does look like gold, though, around that edge. Sister Gill was telling me that it's a depiction of the glory of God. That gold ring around the top, half ring around the top of that cocoon. So, as we proceed, we're endeavoring to think like Christ. We're endeavoring to have His power and influence over our minds. We don't want the conformation of the world, but it is the new mind that has to be able to put off these conforming situations that are occurring. Now, I hate to say this, but this was the whole tease about this, and I have to stop it here because I'm going to let you look at that. I think you know what's happening there, but I got to stop it there because the next service won't have much pictures with it if I keep it. So, back to the pandemics. Let's get to our studies, brethren. In Romans 12:2 again, we're on "so that you may prove." Well, have you ever thought about how you may prove something to God? What are you proving? Vine says to test with expectation of approving, see approving. That's another word where you have to go back and see why what we're approving. Because it signifies to prove, more frequently to prove with a view to approval. God expects us to test our faith in God. God doesn't like a skeptic. He likes faith. And that's not a faith that says, oh, I believe in God. I'm a Christian. And the next time you turn around, you're wondering, why is this happening to me? It's the Christian that says, I need to go to the Lord and find out what His will is for me. And no, I'm not giving up because of the next experience. So we're tried with fire. Each man works out his own walk with the Lord day by day. And it's revealed to us by fire. The fire itself is the test, the proving, the quality of each of our works. In Ephesians 5:10, we're trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And if faith is pleasing to the Lord, the next part of the verse is what the will of God is in Romans 12:2. It's not like I like God's will and I'll do it, but when God instructs us, we will do it. God's will is our will. We will do the Lord's will. So we prove the will of God. We prove what the will of God is for us in each of our lives as we walk this walk. Am I close to time? Oops. 10 minutes? 5 minutes. Okay. Five more minutes of pandemic. Romans 12:2, a little quicker. That which is good. Vine says it's good in character, beneficial in effect, and pleasing to God. Your love, Romans 12:9, your love be without hypocrisy, loathing that which is wicked, cleaving to that which is good. Galatians 6:10, hence, then, as we have opportunity, let us be working what is good towards all, but especially towards the family of faith. How do we do that? How do we change our hearts to really care? Well, that's a life work. What is good and acceptable? Acceptable by Vines is used in Colossians 3:20. O ye children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. What's pleasing? We have to be acceptable to the Lord and be of good character, prove what the will of God is, and find out what is beneficial to each of us to understand the change we're going through, our ways to God's ways. And the last two, and perfect will of God is, Vine says that the things that are perfect, referring to the revelation of God, will always be, whether completed in the Scriptures or beyond the veil, used as it's used in 1 Corinthians 13:10. But as soon as that which is complete is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. James 1:4, and let your endurance have maturity, work, that ye may be mature and complete, in nothing coming short. So, to read the full scripture again in from the Rotherham, Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. We pray that this service was in some way a beginning blessing for the next service, and we pray that it wasn't too boring, and we ask that the Lord overrule, and we ask forgiveness if anything was said amiss. May the Lord add His blessing.